This podcast is about sex and sexuality, so please only listen if you are an adult without kids or other ears around that cannot or do not consent to sensitive language and content. Thanks.
We were arrogant, we were alpha, we were entitled, we were rough. Epitomes of masculinity that every gay man was telling us, keep going, keep being toxic, keep being who you are, because I just adore it. And it's like, okay, pay me for it.
Hello and welcome to What Excites Us, the podcast that discusses sex and sexuality so that you will deeply and truly know that you, your interests, and your sexual expressions are okay. My name is Gwyn Isaacs. I am a certified sex coach who has been professionally helping folks feel good in their sexual expressions since 2017. Today's episode is on the more intense and extreme side. We are talking about things that average kinksters and other folks who regularly practice BDSM find extreme. If you choose to listen, and I wouldn't fault anyone who decides not to, it will likely stretch your limits of understanding. Now, of course, there will be a few that this isn't true for, and if you are one of those, I would really love to chat with you. Please contact me at whatexcitesus.com. But for most of you, I ask that you go into this with an open mind and simply try to understand my guest's point of view. I'm not asking you to agree with everything, just listen and accept his perspective. Because the more that we can hear other folks and truly listen, which means hear what they say without forming retorts or instantaneously jumping to judgments and dismissing it out of hand, the more likely we are able to get along and maybe even be kind to one another. So with that said, this conversation is with Master Arch. He is an OG findom and a lifetime sex worker who identifies as an emotional sadist and slut. He is constantly pushing the envelope in content creation and for how he shows up in all of his fetish work. He can be found on Twitter at AllForArch. He is Master Arch on FetLife, or his website is allformasterarch.com. And one last note before we get started. He refers to his primary partner as his little sister. She is not a child, nor is she his biological sister. It is simply a relationship style. Thank you, Arch, so much for coming onto the podcast. I am really excited about this conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Why don't we start with what it is that you do?
Okay, so I have been a professional dom, pro dom, fetish worker, sex worker, instigator, whatever you want to call it, for quite a while now. And when I first started in my sex work, the internet was just kind of popping off the way it needed to, and just using that as a wellspring of clientele, opportunity to like go past what the BDSM community was kind of blackballing me for already and having extreme points of view around things and finding a wider audience that would accept and compensate me for catering to fetishes that weren't at BDSM parties, like emotional sadism, power inequalities that were very defined by sexuality, gender roles. I mean, I like to push the envelope a lot. I really like making people uncomfortable a lot. So getting into BDSM, I thought I was coming to an open community that everybody was kind of that risk taker, envelope pusher, edgy individual that I was, and I found it wasn't. So I went online and I kind of just made my own niche, and I've made a virtual enterprise with being who I am unapologetically and having people support my life alongside it because I'm an exceptional human being. I have depended my entire income on sex work for a number of years, and it's very scary to like drop that or supplement that at times because it's part of who I am. And it's part of who I made myself to be.
Sure. So it's something that you find personally fulfilling?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I gain great enjoyment from creating fetishes and reenacting those fetishes with people and meeting people at their level of fucked upness or twistedness or whatever it is with very little judgment, you know, and just being a breath of fresh air in a sterile dungeon. I mean, it just, there's only so many flogging scenes you can see or shibari demos you can watch, and just, why don't you want to push the envelope? Like, watch me tie someone up in barbed wire. But they're not going to go anywhere, and it'll take half as long to, you know, it's not intricate. It's not at all. But I find blood attractive. I find suffering attractive. So to, like, give a scene of wrapping someone in barbed wire and just, you know, the feeling around that, the emotional sadist in me loves that too. So it's a new way of thinking for sure.
Yeah. So are you primarily working with folks online, or are you, it sounds like you're doing in-person scenes as well.
Absolutely. In the years that I've been doing this, I have met many people throughout the years that met me at this level and gave me the chance and opportunity to do what I was going to do with my agenda and my know-how and my bucked up head, you know, and it's been both. Online, I find it a lot easier because then I can reach a global market and get the Europeans, get the Asians, get the people that also, however the language may be a barrier, what we're doing, they still want what I'm providing, and we try to meet at a level of how can we do this, you know. And I speak money, so whether it's francs, kroners, euros, your firstborn, like, I take it all, really.
Right. You don't want the firstborn, I promise you that. Kids, they're a hassle.
But yeah, and again, like, tribute takes many forms. What someone can give me, I ask this of everybody that I play with. It's just like, what can you do for me? I need to have transactional friendships and transactional relationships because I'm trying to build my own community. I've been let down by the BDSM community. I've been let down by the global leather community because I didn't fit the political correct norms that one had to be in to be involved in leather or BDSM or any of that. I've done my own thing unapologetically, and it just, like, it may have isolated me. It may have pushed me away from given the opportunity because people are like, he's arrogant, he's brash, he's whatever, he doesn't take it seriously. But at the end of the day, like, that's your fault for not talking to me and hearing my point of view. Because at the end of the day, I'm looking for my community. I'm looking for community support. I'm a trauma victim, you know, like, I've never found support within that community. I'm doing this on my own, and I have for so many years. I'm ready to just fall into community and be taken care of by those that want to support me and want to realize that the value comes from knowing me. I will bring sex and money to any occasion, like, whatever it is. That's who I am. Like I said, I use the word unapologetic a lot because that's kind of how I show up. Like, this is no bullshit. This is really what I do. This is really how I live, you know, and I try to make every moment exceptional. I try to make every night with my little sister exceptional. Like, it just, that's the perfectionist that I am. Like, I have to live that crazy life that is going to be sponsored by other people, that is going to, you know, have cuckolds in it and cash slaves and all sorts of people supporting me and the ones I love, because we make it look good, you know.
Okay, so if someone were to approach you out of the blue, how would you carry forward? So online, for instance, if someone were to approach you, find your website or whatever, how do you begin that conversation?
The first conversation, again, is money. It's just, what can you do for me? In a sense of, am I doing this per session? Am I doing this per week? Am I lifestyle? Like, how are we proceeding forward? Because communication is going to be so much of what we do. I'm going to have to invest so much of my time making sure you realize, yes, there's consent, but also the intent that comes with that of, I am going to do this to you. You are wanting to explore these feelings with me, and we're going to take it to a level of whatever. I play extremely. This is very extreme type of play, and it's not recommended for everybody. I need that to be heard. Like, we're playing in extreme realms. And when someone says, I want to know what it feels like to be bankrupt, you know, I want to take my bank account on a month that rent is due to zero and feel that and feel the stress of that to encourage me on the other side to work harder because I've lost my drive. I've lost my whatever. You know, I have to know what the motivation is to play that extremely with them. There has to be something that this is going to enhance in your life if I'm going to make you worship the devil and, you know, take your bank account to zero. I need to know what feelings we're working with. I need to know what your background is in this. If you carry trauma, if we're reenacting trauma, like there's all sorts of questions around emotional masochism and sadism that I have to cover those bases because we're going to be doing such extreme stuff. And I have no psychological training. I have no financial advice. I'm just a sex worker, you know? So making sure that my intent is clear, making sure that consent is throughout. And then at that point, it's just like, you know, what you are doing is reenacting trauma, triggering traumas, and consensually taking advantage of people that want to feel cheated, want to feel shorted, want to feel bankrupted. You know, these are all feelings that we're working with. And I'm a predatory person. So it's just like that feeds that for me internally, being clear with people and having them offer their necks to a vampire. You know, it just, there's something about that that I love that willing victim that's just like, please pray on me, please reenact something with me that nobody else can understand. Like, I love that.
Do you have clients who are like, this is too much and I need to back off, or do they just disappear?
Oh, yes. Like, financial domination has tinges of addiction throughout all of it. There are tinges of addiction that you're playing with. And when you do intoxication, you have to be aware of like what people are using. You have to have knowledge of drugs. You have to have knowledge of their use, watch their, you know, like it's a shame to admit that the epidemic of methamphetamine that runs through the gay male community and just how much of it is being used, how much of it is being normalized, how the encouragement to always do more is there. And I just step in and I'm the one that just kind of like moderates for a minute. And yes, we can do more, but I need to know, A, I'm getting paid for what I do, and B, like, we're watching this. You are not doing any more than I tell you to do. You still feel like you're being coached or you're being coaxed into something, but your use is going to be the same, only we're breaking it down into little portions, right? You know, like,
that's intense. Do you feel responsible for the folks that are working with you?
I feel responsible in the sense that in the time that we're together, I'm observing them. Mm-hmm. But once we hang up that phone and they do what they're going to do in a fucking methed up haze or whatever, like I can't, you know, and it just, when the money runs out, like I'm done. Like, it's like therapy. It's just like, you paid for your $200 session. You came to session, you expressed what you need to express, and then we're done, you know, and I have to disconnect from that. That may seem cold and heartless and, you know, but I have a confidence that I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of, you know, and if they're wanting more and more and more, it's just like, dude, you can't afford more and more and more. And I can't give you more and more and more. And if that's what you're going to do when we're off, then hail hedonism, hail excess, like, go for it. You know, do what you do. I just needed someone to watch you and supervise you during this time. And you paid the babysitter, you paid the therapist, you paid the sex worker, you know, hopefully you do better. Hopefully things get better, you know, but they're going to do it either way. And it just, to have someone moderating, to have somebody kind of observing, I mean, I think it's a little more safe, you know, if they do something and something happened, I would immediately, you know, like,
sure,
necessary precautions to know exact. And a lot of these guys are into blackmail, so they've already given me their full physical address anyway. So it's just like right there and just like, okay, send it here. That's the only advantage to blackmail material that I have. I don't do blackmail. I don't like it. You know, if you want to do something, you don't need to be forced. Like, do it anyway. I shouldn't have to like hold your information over your head. Like, I've documented the entire process of what I've done. Like, I've always been a content creator. Like, dude, this guy is giving me $4,000 cash at my feet. I'm totally going to get a picture of this to show my friends. You know, like, it's just, I've lived that life for so long. Now the influx of OnlyFans models and FinDoms and like all these people are just, I've been doing this so much longer and so much just, you know, before them.
Just out of curiosity, how long have you been doing it?
Whenever AOL and Yahoo groups were a thing, that's when I got online.
Okay, so the 90s.
Yeah, before, like, well, right after BBS.
Early 2000s, I guess, was when Yahoo groups.
Yeah. Yeah, every time we got a new AOL disc, like, just getting online for that 15 hours and just fucking, you know, whatever you need to do to get some money. It was just, again, we were going into BDSM forums. I had just come from doing sex work that it didn't build contempt, in gay men, but it certainly gave me the attitude that, like, I would look at them and be like, if there was a way that I could ignore you and take your money, I would fucking do it, because I'm fucking sick of listening to what you have to fucking say. And it just, it was a real genuine place, because I was genuinely sick of it. And it just, my friend called me up. He's like, hey, there's a service that allows you to turn your home phone into a 900 number. You can charge up to $50 a minute. Here's your opportunity. And the first line I set up was my ignore line. And I just literally wrote it as, do not expect me to say hello to you. Do not expect me to acknowledge you in any way, shape, or form. I want the emotional masochist that gets off on being ignored and paying to be ignored. And it just, I manifested that, I created that, and if you build it, they will come. And people thought it was great. People thought it was crazy. People thought it was innovative, you know? But again, I wanted that level of self-loathing where you don't even deserve to talk to me unless it's paid by the minute and you're groveling. Like, it just, that level of desperation is very attractive to me, because I've seen it being a sex worker. I've seen how men fawn at me. I've seen how people treat me. And it's just like, oh, you're pathetic and desperate. This is going to be a lot of fun, because I'm going to see how far you'll go to even see my dick. Like, I get more fun denying those people my genitals than actually, like, interacting with them in that way, because they're so motivated by seeing it, or they're so motivated by, like, tasting it or feeling it or whatever the fuck. And it's just like, dude, work for it. Build me a city, you know, like, do something for me that I can, like, benefit from. If I'm going to give you this glorious thing that you fucking hold so much importance to on my body with my autonomy and my cunning ability to manipulate, like, game fucking on, let's do it, you know? So, but that's the sex worker in me too.
So. Yeah, that's amazing. So do you work with people in real life too? We sort of touched on this, but do you do this work in real life?
Come on. Yeah, somewhat. I mean, it just, it takes a very special type of person to want to show up this way, you know, and if that's not happening for me at times, it gets a little scary because it's my income at times. But again, I do this type of stuff with my partner, and we have a very, very rich sex life that involves time travel, astral projection. Like, we're going through amazing stuff together. And it's just like, if the fish aren't biting, it doesn't matter, because I get to devote more time to her, and I love that, you know. And it just, that's my happy place, is with her. So it's just like, at the end of the day, it's a job for me, you know.
Job's a job.
Yeah. Sex work is work too. And it just, like, I love disconnecting from just so much gay porn and penis to just her, and, like, it's rewarding.
Sure. I'm so fascinated. I have so many different things wanting to talk about. But you mentioned writing a book and being an educator. Is that something that you're leaning towards? Have you written a book, or are you writing a book? Or
I have a podcast that I do. I'm extremely dyslexic. I would need a ghostwriter, and I would really prefer to maybe do a movie. I think a movie would probably be a little bit better, because it just, I don't know what I've seen about. There's a lot of me shaking my angry fist at reality television and being like, dude, I could totally write the show.
Oh my God.
Like, if they're putting this stuff on the fucking air, like, on Netflix, like, I could totally make a movie about a male sex worker and the customers. Like, it just, give me my 25 million already. Like, it just, you know, whose love do I have to hump to get this to fucking happen? I'm very quiet. And I mean, I carry a lot of arrogance about me and my life, but I've just never made those connections with people. I would hope to in my life meet someone that's like, we need to do this now. I'm going to green light this. I'm going to make this happen for you. Like, because I need that. I don't know what I need to do to make that happen for myself. Because again, I'm a sex worker. I know how to be pretty. I know how to be manipulative, but I don't know who to talk to, like, help me realize my dreams, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, slaves are doing it by supporting it and, like, financially giving me what I need every month. But, like, I don't know who's going to be the next person to green light.
Yeah. What producer is going to want to be a part of your stable? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I mean, that's the exciting part to me, because then I won't have to worry about being on Twitter spaces anymore. I don't have to look for fucking cash slaves to fucking support things. I've got bankroll of movie companies that want my story. And yeah, you made $10,000 this month off a slave, but I just got $25 million on a movie deal. Like, it just, that's a flex I want to fucking put on all these cash masters.
Well, I would not be surprised to see it happen. Yeah.
Thank you for your confidence. I really hope.
Well, I mean, you exude a lot of confidence, so, and you've clearly manifested all sorts of things already, so there's no doubt that you can make this happen. If that's where you're aiming, I'm certain that you can make it happen. You also mentioned being an educator. Is that a pivot that you were interested in?
I do have interest in educating people, but again, the political correctness around everything, like, I am my own type of person. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea, so I'm very, very afraid, not afraid, but like, I know I'm going to offend people.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's far more offensive people in this world. Like, it just, I don't need the back, I don't want the backlash, because I don't care. It's hate. It's stuff you don't understand. Again, I would much prefer a conversation with someone around where we differ than someone accuse me of being something and just writing me off as that, because I've been written off as a misogynist. I've been written off as a homophobe. I've been written off as a, you know, white supremacist. I mean, there are a lot of things that people have written me off as because of things that I've done. And it's just like, no, it's not about that. Like, ask me the questions and I'll talk to you about that. And I don't want it to sound like justification, but it's just, this is how I live my life. You know, yeah. I have to deal with this. Like, I have to live with the stigma around that. I create the situation that causes its own stigma. Have a little faith that I know what I'm doing, you know?
That is one thing that humans are not terribly good at, is having faith in other humans.
And patience. Like, that is such a major, major trauma trigger, because it just, not having patience in me and writing me off is just, that's everything traumatic for me, you know?
Sure.
Not giving validation to my story, not giving validation to my journey, not giving validation to that I'm ultimately doing this to, like, just, I don't know, as an artistic state, I don't know why, you know, it just, there's a story behind everything I do. It's not just, oh, we're just doing this because I like tying people up and flogging them. No, it's just, I love extremes. I love unconventional, and I love twisted, fucked up shit, that it just, I want to find people that are the same. I know they exist within kink, but not in the places that I was at, you know?
Right, right. And I fully believe that everything on this planet is a spectrum, that there is no binary except in computers and other man-made things. And so therefore, if you are recognizing, if you're already at this end of the bell curve, then you recognize that most of the people are up here in this middle part, and you tend to lean on the extreme side. So it's going to be a smaller pool of folks.
And I've just never wanted to dumb myself down to kind of like join the group and be like, okay, I'll do it your way. Like,
right.
Sorry, didn't know you weren't supposed to cut that off. Whatever. Well, I'm just using that as a general example.
But. No, that was hilarious. So do you enjoy more middle ground kink? That is a weird sentence.
Nope, it doesn't. I can enjoy that that's people's expression of sexuality, and great that that works for you and that's your level, but the people for me are the mad ones. I enjoy the extreme nature of being able to say, okay, this is a fetish. This is something that literally turns me on and, you know, makes me feel a certain type of way, and I'd like to explore that with someone. And being given the opportunity for someone to trust me, let me lead them, let me, you know, work with them. It's a collaborative effort, but it just, I can't go back to, yeah, it just, it doesn't do any, it's stage, it's cringy, it's actory, it's standing modelly, it's all sorts of things. And it's hard for me. Like, I challenge myself by putting myself in situations where I'll see that expression of sexuality, like going to swingers parties or BDSM parties or hedonism or wherever I go in my world. And I try to listen to those people. I'm like, that's real, like, you know, Patamon, that's so cute that you're there, you know, like that all, you know, but it just, it's so much deeper than that for me. Like, I can't go back. There's no going back. It's just all in all the time. And I want to meet people that can kind of like respect that and want to do things that way and just need the guide to kind of shove them to do that. In my work and in my private life too, the partner that I have is extremely patient with the fact that I'm an extreme personality, and we're really doing a lot of major work, you know, around things that happen to us both. Like I said, there's time travel, there's fucking, there's all sorts of stuff. It's amazing.
Do you enjoy any of the physical aspects? So, like, one of the things that I saw once at a big fetish party was somebody being crucified. And I was like, that's very interesting.
Physical, yes. If it involves blood, if it involves suffering, if it involves crying, if it involves taking someone to their ultimate limit.
I've
done several scenes of single tail bull whipping. Very heavy, very heavy. The last one I did, we gave her a lashing, and then we took all the whip marks that were open with blood and we pierced them with needles. I mean, just, yeah. I want you to, you get the scourge. You come to me, you get the scourge. It's just, we're releasing something with our play. We're releasing shame. We're releasing guilt. We're releasing, you know, temptation, whatever it is that we're playing with, even if it's confronting your trauma and reenacting things head on and with props, it all really releases and it all really gives freedom to living a very free life at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why people do BDSM. Just because I play for blood doesn't mean somebody that's getting flogged or tied up or, you know, shibari people. Like, we all do what we do for whatever reason we do. And I don't shame that. I don't, I may roll my eyes at it again because it's a little bit cringy and weird, but, you know, like, again, that's just me. It's not a matter of disrespect. It's just, I'm not there. Like, it's just, you're cute. We all start somewhere. Like, if that works for you guys and that's your comfort level.
And over the knee spanking. How adorable.
Right, exactly. Why aren't you doing this with sandpaper? Like, why aren't you, like, it just, you know, like, why aren't you being mean to her? Why aren't you spitting on her? Why are you cherishing her? Quit it! Like, it just, to me, it's like, humiliation and degradation are two of my favorite things, too. So it's like, to see women treated like princesses or like special little creatures, it's just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, degrade her! Come on! It's right there! You know? Solely the views of Master Arch. Do not reflect the views of your podcast or any sponsors you may carry, but that is just me.
Do you enjoy, have you ever experienced being on the submissive side, the masochistic side?
I am a survivor of child sexual trauma. So yes, I have done plenty of time on the bottom end of things, and I have done plenty of time as a victim. And I know the mentality of fear. I know the mentality of not feeling safe as well. So it, you know, it's any wonder that I play with those, but I consider the time that that happened to me and all the exploitation that I endured, all the sexual assaults I've gone through as a sex worker. I mean, it just, I, yeah, I'm good. And as far as physical, like, I mean, I have done the leather scourge of, you get this done to yourself before you do it to someone else. Like, I came from that background. So I have had a little bit of physical, but again, most of the pain and stuff that I've went through in my life has been very emotional too. And it just, that's the type of shit that I want to inflict on people. You know, when people say that, like, no permanent marks, it's like, okay, but what about mental scarring? Like, I'm always the one to ask that question and be like, can I put a trigger in your head that'll make you feel a certain type of way? And like, for my benefit, is that off limits? And people are just like, whoa, I've never been asked that before. You know, it's just, it's kind of like opening up a discussion, like, here, like, you took, it took an extreme personality to kind of show you that yes, I do have limits. When no limit slaves come to me, my favorite activity is adding limits to no limit slaves. It's like, cool, so you're gonna tribute me weekly, monthly? Like, how's this going? It's like, no, I would never pay anyone. It's like, okay, well, you said no limits, so
yeah. I just, at no limits is just like a giant red flag to me. Like, you're clearly either inexperienced or lack actual information to know, well, what the hell you is, mean, because there is nobody that doesn't have any limits at all. Like,
correct,
that's just,
but there is credence to people that want to experience consensual non-consent scenes.
Oh, absolutely.
Limits tested where, you know, they feel powerless, you know, and it's like, that to me is like, okay, if you want to have no limits, we can explore CNC. We can explore things that give you the opportunity to, it's kind of unseen, but at the end of the day, like, you don't have a say. You don't, you know, like, can we play it for 24 hours? Can we play it for a week? Can we play it for a month? Can we play it for a year? Like, how far can we take that? You know, and it just, the opportunistic fucking predator that exists within me wants to test every little part of that immediately. So that we get into the routine and the rhythm of it. And warm-ups are cool. Aftercare is great, you know, but just ramping it up immediately and just taking it to a level of extreme is kind of my MO. Like, I don't have that sensual or erotic side to me at all. You know, sensation play kind of confuses me. Like, again, it's just like, okay, I'm gonna give my little sister softies after I've done horrible, horrible things to her. That's about, you know, that's the aftercare that I'm supposed to get on that. So
I appreciate your clarity in all of this.
I have to be.
Yeah, you do. You do have to be. But I think that when people think about this, they assume that there isn't. And maybe they've run into people who don't have the wherewithal to think things through carefully. Or maybe they just think everything is like a porn movie where you don't actually see the negotiation ahead of time. But I think that a lot of the fear in our society around these topics come from lack of understanding that someone who can do this can actually think things through and be thoughtful about what it is that you're doing with these folks.
Well, mindfulness is very important around this, and it just ownership of it. You know, I mean, we have people like Andrew Tate that just, they're horrible, horrible people. And if he at one time had been like, look, I'm a predator, I'm totally manipulating people, I'm totally capitalizing on people, I'm taking advantage of cultures, like, people would be like, this is awful, but at least he's saying something, you know, like, but I'm open and honest with the fact that I'm taking you to the end. I'm taking you to the other side, you know, not in the way of snuff, but just leading people through life.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the work that I've done as a sex worker too, and I did a podcast where I talked about this, is for a while there, like 10 years ago now, I'm horrible with like time, but like 5 of my friends became terminal all at the same time. And they were all really good friends, and I was always honest with them. And they're like, look, we know you're a slut. We know you're a sex worker. Would you have one last erotic exchange with us before it all goes downhill? And I call it death escorting or death, you know, whatever. But it's like having a sexual exchange with someone before they know they're going to die, or before they know their life is going to get considerably better. They won't be able to feel the pleasure that they feel at this point in their life. And just quick opportunistic moment, I'm totally down to fulfill that. You know, and I totally want to fulfill that because I love sex. I love being a slut. I love exploring people that way and coming with people and whatever body that is or whatever form that takes. Yeah, we can make that work.
You know, frequently when I tell people what I do for a living, they ask for a hot sex tip. So what I say, not really knowing them or any of their situations, is that most sexual issues can be helped with more and better conversation, or lube, or both. Now, conversation is really on you, although I can help you if you'd like me to. I do that as a coach. But when it comes to lube, there are two brands that I always reach for first. Uber Lube is my go-to silicone lube. It's pure, it's not full of any unnecessary additives that make it smell, taste, or feel unlike you, me. It comes in a beautiful glass bottle that I'm happy to have on my nightstand, and it's great in most situations. However, if you prefer a water-based lube or have some other intimate needs, I recommend Good Clean Love. They have a variety of great products to help everything in the bedroom go smoothly. They've got some vaginal care kits, some cleaning solutions, oils and candles. It's really great. Now, you can find an affiliate link for these at the podcast's website, whatexcitesus.com. And to be clear, you do help me out when you buy through these links. But I specifically reached out to these companies because I truly love their products and I believe in what they're doing. So help yourself, help me, help these lovely companies, and get better sex with better lube. Go visit the links for Uber Lube and Good Clean Love at whatexcitesus.com. Do you have, besides your partner, do you have sexual relationships with folks that is not transactional?
Yeah. But again, it's about me. I don't take a lot of charity cases. it has to gratify me in some way, shape, or form. And it's unfortunate because the things that I am requiring is someone that can be degraded, someone that can be humiliated, someone that will eat my ass every other night, you know, like whatever, just horrible things I can think of to make you feel stupid, inferior, you know, whatever it is. Cause I have my spot for cherishing. My little sister is my cherished. Like, she is the one that she gets patience, she gets all these other things. And like other physical relationships, just they don't matter as much. You know, they don't strike me the same way. They don't have the same pitter patter in my heart. So it just, I've done poly so many different ways. Like, this feels right. And what we're doing now is just, I get to slut around and we slut together, you know, like whatever it is that we're doing, she's there for, you know, either as a voyeur, facilitator, or something with her. And we just started this, so it's exciting to see where it will go. But we really are working a lot around definition and slowing down enough to be like, hey, what did you mean by that? Oh, because I totally thought this, you know, and just, yeah, two really impulsive people slowing down time enough to like go back in time and also like now time to like just really be clear with what we're doing together. Because it is a shared journey. I'm devoted to her. I'm very devoted to her. And that's a new thing for me too, because I've always been a cheater. I've always been a slut. I've never understood monogamy as a paradigm in any way, but like, I'm so emotionally monogamous to her. It's disgusting. So.
You find yourself being annoyed at yourself. Hey,
so annoyed. I'm like, why can't I just fucking, yeah. Yeah, it's hard sometimes. But, you know, again, like, it helps having other partners that are totally debasing themselves for your amusement to remind you why you do it. So there is that as well.
Do you have a pay scale structure, or do you base it on what people offer?
Fuck you, pay me. That's the pay scale structure right there. I want to know what the budget is. I want to know how long we're working for. And really, like, the rush that people get from winning a large amount of money is not nearly as great as the amount that they get from losing. So to take a large sum of money directly from someone as a deposit, it's a feeling. It's a feeling. And it's a feeling like that gets comforted at the end, because like, you're investing in my time. Really, like, you see the mind that you're working with here. Like, if I'm working with someone, I'm investing all that energy into making the scene the best for you, you know, and making your feelings be felt. You know, so to say I work at $200 an hour, like, it doesn't work that way. Like, what's available? How quick can we get you to zero? Like, it just, how can we give you that immediate rush of losing that money? You know, that's FinDom for me. It's a branch of emotional masochism. I consider it in the same places as cuckolding, the same places as, you know, degradation. Like, it's a feeling. There's a feeling around it. When you lose money, you know what that feels like. It sucks. Some people love it, you know, just like getting a shot at the doctor sucks. Some people love it, you know, it's an unconventional masochistic feeling, you know, that I love those unconventionals. I love those places that people just don't go or understand how to go to, you know, and I have experience doing it. So I love educating people and having practical experience with it.
So it sounds like you are also getting a rush from it, not just a paycheck. Is that true?
Rush is being the facilitator and getting the trust from somebody and taking the trip with somebody.
Yeah.
And being that kind of spirit guide through it. And knowing that on the other end, we're just going to be like laughing about it or just laying in bed and bliss together about it or whatever, you know.
Also a paycheck. Yeah.
Yeah. In the work that I do, yes, it is 100% fuck you, pay me. And it just, everybody has what they have to give. And like, sure, at this point, there are cash slaves that, look, I have $40 a month. I can give you $10 a week. And that is stretching me. And it's just like, yeah, I want to, you know, like, as much as I want to explore that with you, I don't have the hours that you need to talk to somebody about this and be excited about this with somebody. It's more, find another guy, introduce the fact that you're an emotional masochist, tell them that you want to feel broke, spread the word of this, talk about this with people, have the conversation with this. And there's somebody that'll really love that they're making 10 bucks a week. Cause there's guys that post on Twitter, they're like, yo, just cash drain this slave for 50 bucks. And it's like, you're cute. You know, like, sit down, bro. But there's also guys that are making 30,000 a month through OnlyFans. I'm just like, bro. row. Like, okay, I'm not making that anymore, but like, go on with your bad self. I see you, you know, like, and it just, it sucks because there is no fraternal order or brotherhood within any of it. It's every man for themselves. Money changes everybody. It doesn't matter if you're top, bottom, master, slave, mistress, money will change everything. And it's bringing out greed in people. Nobody's talking about what they're doing. Nobody's sharing insights into what they're doing. It's just one big flex. Look how much money I'm making. It's not, look what I'm doing with this money. I don't know. It's just, there's other stuff you could be doing with it. And like, I guess that goes with sex work. Spend it like it's stolen. You know, like you just don't ever know when it's going to stop. So
yeah,
might as well buy a Lamborghini, you know, whatever.
I mean, a lot of people have a lot of really odd relationships with money, right? Scarcity mindset is rampant and in our reality, understandable. And
by having a scarcity mindset with a cash master in your life, with a ruthless cash master in your life.
I really have a hard time wrapping my head around that. I don't quite get it, but I don't have to, so it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's a level of masochism that I don't really understand either, but I cater to it.
Sure. You know,
I find over and over and over again that there are people that have unconventional masochisms that I am always surprised by, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned that it's every man for himself. Does it feel like competition?
Of course it does. Of course it does. Because money is at stake, you know? And that's when you don't show your cock, when you're not like flexing your body. I mean, we're always flexing our bodies because it's like, that's part of it. But it's just like, how do you show your body in a way that's sexy and also provocative and also going to relapse someone to pay you? And how do you exude? How do you get things across in content? You know, because a lot of these people are content creators too. So it's like, do they video somebody going to the ATM, taking out money and giving it to them and showing that and just like the reality of that? Or do they do a photo set of their last foot worship session? You know, for me, it's always been about, I like single images that just kind of like stop you in your tracks and like make you think and be like, whoa, like it evokes an emotional reaction in you as well. So it's like blasphemy stuff. I mean, there's just a lot of really fucked up shit that you can do in the name of fetish that really evoke an emotional reaction out of people, you know, and I've always loved pushing that envelope there too. And again, finding bottoms and finding subs that are just like, fuck yeah, let's do this together collaboratively because I get off on this too, you know?
Yeah. So you cater primarily to gay men, the combination with mistresses.
I cater to everybody. I solicit women all the time too.
Oh, but yeah.
I know the people that are going to have money are gay men, you know, like they have speaking money. So I can be pretty in the face of a woman. She's like, you're attractive. It's like, yeah, it doesn't mean you want to pay me, you know? And like,
right. I
enjoy long walks to the bank and, you know, unequal power dynamics. So I don't think we're probably going to be a match. So thank you. I know I'm beautiful. We're good.
Carry on. Have you had any women who were?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I've had both female cash slaves and female clients. I did a lot of escorting for women. I learned a lot about women through being an escort for women. And just, again, I've done every branch of sex work that exists. So it just, and I'm a sexual being that's been, my body count is well over 1,000. So it just.
Sure.
I've had exchanges with people where part of my trauma response is hyperfixation. So it's like, I'll pay so much attention to someone and have that mirror up there so close to them that it's just like, even if we're casually playing, you know, I've had casual people that are just like, the only people that like notice this about me are my mom. And it's like, well, yeah, because I'm paying such close attention to you as a predator and a trauma survivor that I take this curse of hyperfixation and use it to just better serve me in my sex work and my personal relationships.
Yeah.
So women love attention being paid to them, but I've literally had women be like, why are you watching me so intently? Like, stop noticing these things about me, because it's like, it's so scary sometimes how perceptive I am to people's emotions, to people's traumas, to people's mannerisms. Like, I love being like, hey, you do this because this happened to you. Let's do that together, because I find that really, really hot. Muscle memories that come from trauma are the hottest things in the world to me.
Well, can you give us an example?
I'll just do that. Like, yeah, like,
okay.
There's just There's things, and I just, the body keeps score, and it just, however people carry their trauma, and like it goes along with what I like. It goes along with claiming empowerment through trauma, and there's a lot of stigma around people that present in the bedroom, however they present, and just you can't take away these things. And unless you're paying attention too, you wouldn't know. It's just like, okay, like, but I love, again, like, especially with my partner, just, yeah, the muscle memory, the fucking, the just the everything. It's just, it's beautiful to me. Oh, pitter patter.
As brash as you are, seeing you get a little emotional is very sweet.
The things that we're doing are so horrible and unpolitically correct. So that's the beauty behind all of it, is just like I'm pitter patter over the most like dark age play, fucked up scenarios that just exist, because it's just like that's our love language, is that environment. So
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's what gets you going, and that's how you ended up here where you are. If somebody were interested in doing what you do, what would you tell them?
don't. We get to the professionals. Like, there's no way to teach this. Like, I've tried to teach people how to do financial domination. It's not lucrative to me. And at the end of the day, if I'm taking a cut of what you're banking and you're going out and doing sex work, just call me your fucking pimp. Like, let's just be real with it. Like, seriously, I'm not your coach. I'm not your manager, whatever. Like, it's just no. Go out there and fucking work for daddy. Like, make me fucking money. Because I taught you everything I needed to know about the hustle, about the whatever. There is no days off with this. There is no, like, I'm all about this all the time. And you want to learn how to do what I do? Be about this all the fucking time. And meet people that want to be about this all the time, because now you're in my circle and we're both about this all the time. Or we're both bringing in money, and we have slaves bringing us in money, and we're all supporting each other. And nobody goes hungry, nobody goes unfed, That's what I want. I want community. I want help. I want support. Like, any gay man can tribute me. Anybody can hand me a $200 tribute or a $1,000 tribute, whatever. But the people that are around long term that want to support my life, again, like, community, I don't have. I have individuals that want to send me to Jamaica and watch me fuck guys' wives for 2 weeks, which, cool, I'm down. I'll get great pictures of that. Varieties of the spice of life. You want to see a whole bunch of vaginas? Cool. Whatever. But it
Yeah.
just,
So what does community mean to you?
more than the support of just me and my little sister, like, other people showing up as their best selves and making money in that, and us all throwing that communally into a pile so we can live, so we can not have to worry about all getting jobs. Not, just community of sex workers, community of kingsters, community of chefs, community of whatever, just transactional things that, like, where is your value? What do you bring to this? I bring sex and money. What do you bring? Service. You bring culinary expertise. Great. You're the cook. Like, we're going to give you our money every week. You plan the menu for us. You make sure that we're fed. You make sure that we can be online for 8 hours at a time on Twitter Spaces. And when 12 o'clock rolls around, you're there with my sandwich, so I can feed my brain to keep doing the things I'm doing, so we can keep having money roll in,
So you're talking about a physical community.
Absolutely. And even if it's online, that level of support is great. But it just, again, like, I need to feel that I'm being supported. Thoughts and prayers mean nothing. Buy me a subscription to a food service. Like, hear what I need in my life and do something for me. Like, this is who I am. I want to get paid for being who I am,
That's the dream.
And it's arrogant as fuck to say that. And I know everybody lives that, but it just, I want to do it because I want to support those around me too. Like, it's kind of a Robin Hood mentality of stealing from the rich and giving to the poor, but it just, I've always carried that. And every time I do sex work and get people involved in it, I want to see people thrive within it. From a self-made perspective of someone that, again, came on the internet and started really pursuing this financial domination life before OnlyFans, before sex work became any type of normalized and radicalized. I'm a person of manifestations. And even if I don't have the words for it, I can give you the actions. This whole thing is just one improvisational art piece for me in the end, of like, wow, I really made it. Like, where do we, like,
That's a beautiful vision of life. I mean, if more people could just feel that it was just really a giant improvisational art piece, I think that we would be so much less stressed about every stupid thing.
Totally. And it just like, and that's the thing too with fetish and like call out culture, like start just acknowledging that this is part of you again, like make it funny, do humor about it, do art about it, do whatever about it, and just make it your own sense of expression. So when people start experiencing this and like hearing about it, they're like, no, these people are extortionists. No, these people are, you know, taking advantage of people. I mean, it just, we're the representatives to the rest of the world, explaining to them what it is we do. And that's why I do my podcast, because it's like, it explains so clearly about how I feel about financial domination and how I feel about male for male financial domination. Like, I haven't talked to enough females because the females I talk to are just so like dom attitude of just like, no, they're men and they should be paying us. And it's like, I get it. I feel the same way. Like, can't we meet at the same place and be like, fuck men? Like, oh no, there's no sense of brotherhood or fraternal order of anything on it. Male, female, anybody. Nobody's talking.
That's a shame.
Everybody's flexing. Everybody's, look what I made. Look what I did. You know? And it's like, for the cerebral subs that enjoy hearing people discuss topics or discuss stories or discuss their favorite dom, or like, you know, maybe it'll give an insight to somebody. Maybe you'll get a new customer hearing, you know, you talk on my podcast because they were so used to you being on your live space saying, give me $20, faggot. You know, like that's all they hear from you. But then you come up the podcast and they're like, oh, you really have a brain, you know, like it's good for everybody.
Well, that's a perfect segue into my next question, which was, what's your podcast?
It's called The Cash Cast. It's on Spotify. It's hosted by me, and my co-host is a guy named Soups, which is short for Sexy Superman. He's a gay man out of Scotland. And he's just, my little sister calls it good cop, bad cop, because he's very like, and I'm very, no, fuck you. Like, just, we're complete different types. You know, and I bring a lot of humor to it because I enjoy trolling people and I enjoy making people think. So when I talk to other masters, it's great. And one of my favorite ways of playing with people is ego reduction. So it's just like, don't come on here with that master bullshit. Like, we're all equals on this podcast. We're all just as alpha as each other. We're all just as whatever. Like, you're no better than us. And I love providing that avenue for that. You know, and if somebody came on with ego, I'm just counting down the days until somebody just gets into it with me. Like, no, you're fucking wrong. And here's why. You're ignorant. You've been on the scene, literally. Like, we've talked to guys that have only been on the scene, the FinDom scene, for weeks. And they're getting, like, their teeth cut on, like, Twitter and just, like, really? You think you're a FinDom? What makes you so special? Can you talk about it for an hour? Can you make it seem interesting for an hour? Cool. I'll give you that opportunity. The cream will always rise to the top. Always rise to the top. We've had a couple really, really great interviews, and we've had some that are just so mundane and boring and just like, cool, bro. Super cool story, bro. I'm literally going to sleep here and we're discussing one of my favorite fetishes. So let's pick it up, bang it up. Let's do it. And again, I come from a place of an emotional sadist. So to get more men to like kind of be like, whoa, I guess it is an emotions base that we're dealing with, and just getting in touch with their feelings and, you know, like, yeah, I see.
Like, of course it's an emotional place. What else would it be?
But ego gets in the way of that.
I see.
I swing a flogger. I'm dominant. Like, what, do you want a medal? Who fucking cares? Who are you aside from that? And it's just that, what can you do for me mentality? Just, oh, you're cute. You think that's valuable. Well, cool. No, but next. I'm saying that constantly. Next. Because it just doesn't serve me. It doesn't bring me fucking joy. It doesn't make me come. It doesn't fucking do whatever. It just, I don't have time for it.
Right.
And I don't want to go to the grocery store. I don't want to go to the grocery store on my fucking money. You know, there's plenty of shit that can be done.
Fascinating. So I like to finish the podcast by asking one final question, which is, what excites you?
In what way?
You pick.
The corruption of innocence, terminated crystals on a specimen, the way JoJo wakes me up in the morning, the way my little sister's neck feels and smells, and warm water in hotel rooms over camping any day.
Hello on that last one.
Like, I don't camp well, but if I'm going somewhere like on tour somewhere, like just coming back to a hotel room that has hot water and like a comfy bed, like that's exciting.
Yeah.
You can go out and do what you need to do and come back to that. Good. Well, thank you for your time. It's really, really, really awesome meeting you. And thank you for the words on Sex Geek Summer Camp. I'm really looking forward to meeting other people like you and that understand me the way you have. And I just, it's very, I'm blessed. So thank you for being so understanding and giving me the opportunity to say what I need to say.
Okay. So I know that you have thoughts and questions after this one. Please take a moment and let me know what they are. I would really love to have some more conversation around this and hear what you are thinking. You can do that easiest at whatexcitesus.com by recording a voice message or sending me an email. You could also join the Patreon and tell me there, which you can find also by going to whatexcitesus.com. You could find me on TikTok. I am Sex Fairy Gwyn. I am also that on Instagram, even on Facebook. Come find me. Come at me. Tell me what it is that you are thinking. And be kind, please. Okay, and while I am in the asking you to do stuff for me favors mode, I cannot tell you how much it means to me to see reviews and ratings coming in. If you could just take a second and hit the Rate This Podcast button on What Excites Us, or if you're in Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can easily do it there. There are other ones that have ratings. Just do me the favor of rating and reviewing this show, not this episode. Well, yes, this episode, but also just in general, this show. You have no idea how much that helps. Unless you're a podcaster, which of course you know exactly how much it helps, but it helps a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. So please take that time. I know it's hard because you're probably walking your dog or driving or whatever in the space where you're not actually going to easily do that. But if you could remember to come back and rate or review the podcast, it means so much to me. Thank you. And thank you in general. I really love doing this and I love communicating with all of you. And I love it when we get to communicate back and forth to each other. I just think it's the coolest thing. Connection, I think, is the thing that I love the most in this world. What Excites Us is produced, edited, and hosted by me. I'm Gwyn Isaacs. Our podcast host is Tickle.life. All the music I use is under the Creative Commons Attribution License. The opening song is The Vendetta by Stefan Kartenberg, and this is Quando by Julius H. Thanks for listening. And know that however you express yourself, whatever you're into, as long as you don't harm anyone, and that includes yourself, that's okay. You are loved. And you want to know how I know? It's because I love you. So thanks for listening, and rock on with your bad self.